Sparkle of Life. Thought for today, this is Dr. Herbert L. Varley, Dean of the University of Healing, Chapel, California. The Sparkle of Life. What is the Sparkle of Life, and where do we get the Sparkle of Life? Who gives us the Sparkle of Life? Well, we were just talking about the people in Nigeria who have multiple wives, and we were thinking how unfortunate that is for some of the women to be second, third, or fourth wife, or the junior or senior wife, and not to have all of the privileges that each has. And then we came to the thought, well, you know, those people are really quite happy with that. They're living in a culture that has limited income, and for one man who is quite wealthy and who is quite comfortably fixed to have a number of wives whom he can take care of very well is great. We in our Western society think wife, sex, children, end. And that makes the reason that we have 50% of our marriages ending up in divorce, because we have taken the sparkle out of life and we have put into it an indignity. And the indignity is to have sex and have children. Sex is just a normal thing like eating in any type of relationship. And having children is a very unnormal thing. It's a very special thing. And we have made it into a very undignified thing. We have called having children the responsibility of a married couple. That when people get married, the reason they get married is to have children. And many people have proven to us that was not necessarily done. It ain't necessarily so. They can have children without being married. So, what is the real sparkle of life? Let's investigate that with a few thoughts. The real sparkle of life is the relationship that people have to each other. When two people, two men or two women, are together and enjoy each other's company, we don't expect them to produce children. We don't expect them to have sex. We don't expect them to have any relationship other than a relationship of meaningful caring for one another and enjoying each other's company and each other's time. Now, we find that most admirable. The minute the sex enters into it, then we call that lesbian or gay activity, and we call that in our society something that we haven't fully come around to accept as an approved thing. That doesn't mean it's right or it's wrong, it's just that we haven't come around to accept it yet. Now, in a marriage relationship, the couple like each other, they have a sparkle for each other, they have that sparkle of life that just sort of twinkles in their eyes and in their heart, and they want to be together and they want to enjoy each other. And then they start saying, sex. Yeah. We're together, so we want to have sex together. And the minute they do that, they don't like themselves in the morning, really. They don't like themselves in the morning. The reason they don't like themselves in the morning is because they have now made a commitment. They have committed their bodies to each other instead of committing their hearts. When real love takes place, it's a committing of your heart to one another. It's a committing of your heart to the highest and best that is within you. It is looking at the other person and encouraging them to be the very finest that they can be, and not say, I'm going to improve that man, or I'm going to train that woman to be a good woman or a good man. And that's not what marriage is should be all about. Marriage should be where just two beautiful beings are together and enjoying each other's company and encouraging each other to their highest and greatest potential. And it has nothing to do with sex and nothing to do with children. The minute you get sex moved in there, right away comes what word? Anyone want to give it to me?
Possession.
Possession. Mm. Possession. The minute you have sex, you got possession. That's my man. That's my woman. And if you're just two nice people together, you don't really think of possession. You just think of enjoying each other's company. You respect one another totally. And the minute children come in it, then what is it often said? His kids or my kids or our kids, you know, you must say they're our children because they're our children. Well, you don't always feel that way. You feel like that's his kids or that's her kids. Because actually she is doing most of the raising of the children. And in truth, they're her children. They are the ideal of her heart. They may be the genes of his and her bodies, but they're the ideal of her heart. What are her values? That's what she teaches them. Oh, the father gets in there for a lick or two now and then, but basically it's the mother. And you see, they're really not our children, they're her children. And when the children turn out to be very loving children, considered children, beautiful children, it's because of the mother, not because of the father. Sometimes the father enters in. Sometimes it does. Like me, in retrospect, I remember my father, and I think of the few things that he said to me that were significant in my life. But I don't remember anything that my mother said, because my mother was my total pattern. Mother was my everyday fare. Mother was my meat and potatoes. Pop was my ice cream. And mother, if without mother, without the meat and potatoes, I couldn't be what I am today. And without our meat and potatoes, without the things that we take for granted. See, we take mother for granted because she's there training us, giving us the sparkle in our life. And our father just comes in now and then for a little advice or wisdom or whatever. And we really don't get too much out of it. But if you really want the sparkle of life, go for being yourself and having fun. And if the other person in your life is being themselves and having fun with you, then your life is truly a meaningful thing. But if the other person in your life possesses you, you cannot go out tonight, you cannot do this, you cannot go there. Hey, I'm a little boy again, I'm a little girl again. And your wife, you don't allow her to go out with a bunch of other couples or men and women who are not married because they're liable to get the idea that she's available. Well, available for what? Available for what? Available for being enjoyed, for being admired, for being liked, for being trusted, for being enjoyed in every possible way other than sex. See, the minute sex comes into it, that's the possession. The marriage today is considered sex. And a lot of people have it outside of marriage, and a lot of people inside of marriage, and a lot of people don't have it either places. But the thing is, what is it that we're talking about? We're talking about the sparkle of life, to really enjoy life. And if we can get the possession out of that, I mean, you're going to take sex out of marriage? Well, why not? Why not? You can't do it, but why not? Because the thing is, when people have the idea that they can possess another person merely by the actions that they do, they got the wrong idea. Because no one should be able to be possessed. No one. That's called slavery. And we think of it as slavery in the days when slavery was present in the United States and the world, and we think that was an ugly, ugly, ugly thing. Well, marriage is just as ugly when it is considered as slavery. And when the wife can go to her husband and say, "Sweetheart, I'm going to be gone for about 3 months. I'll see you when I get back." And he doesn't say, "Where are you going? What are you going to do? What?" But he says, "Have fun. I don't own you. I don't possess you. We're a team working together. Have fun." And when the husband says, "Sweetheart, I'll be gone for a couple of weeks. Have fun." She doesn't say, "Where are you going? What right have you got to leave the family here alone? Who's going to bring in the money while you're gone? Who's going to do this? What? You know, and let him alone. Men and women haven't that strength to say that to their spouse. But if they did, what a wonderful marriage it would indicate. What a strong, beautiful tie between them, tie, but not possession. It'd be a bonding, but not possession. See, all these words we have, tie, bonding, and all these lovely things that we think are so lovely that the animal bonds to you. He's possessed by you. You know, you're possessed of the animal. It's unfortunate, because they should mean something like there's a caring between you. Bonding is a caring between you, not possession. The tie is understanding between you, not possession. Do you understand what that means? You know what that really means? Now, this is the type of relationship we want to have with our world. This is the type of relationship that Jesus taught. He said, let the dead bury the dead. He said, forget this stuff. Forget this stuff. Leave unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and unto God that which is God. And this is what he meant is in the money changers in the temple. He said, change that money from the worldly money to the temple money. That's the tradition of the rabbinic church. And this is what they wanted their people to do. But we look at it differently. We look at it as though it were something evil, something bad. And what we want to look at it is that this non-possession does not mean non-caring, does not mean non-enjoying, does not mean non-togetherness. It just means that if you have a friend, you cannot possess them. The minute you try to possess the friend, you lose them. As I told Anita, I said, in your seeking of love relationships, if you go after it to possess another person, that they belong to you, that you're a couple, that you're a thing, you've lost. But if you enjoy each other's company immeasurably, you've won everything. And there's no possession. There's only the enjoyment. There's only the sparkle of life. And this is what it's all about. Now, many people might take offense at some of the things I'm saying. They'll say, well, you certainly aren't teaching the real marriage. Oh, yes, I am. In the Bible, you'll find there is no marriage. Jesus went to the marriage feast at Canaan, but what did he do? He went to the feast, not to the marriage. The marriage in the Old Testament was when the woman would lie down at a man's feet, and if the man said, come, she came, and if he said, no, then there was no marriage. That was the marriage. That was how they established their relationships. And it was acceptable. It was acceptable. And there was no great marriage ceremony and no big dealy bob where millions of dollars are spent on some of these interesting things. There was two people who found a commonality with one another. And they might even have had a number of wives. Now, the Muslims, they teach many wives. And then there are certain countries that are not totally Muslim, but they teach many wives, like Nigeria and Guyana. You can have many wives, and Cameroon. And it has nothing to do with your religion. It has nothing to do with whether you're a Christian or a Jew or a Hindu. It makes no difference what your background is. You can do it because it's the law of the land. Now here the law of the land says no to the Mormons. You cannot have a bunch of wives. And the Mormons had a bunch of wives because it was a convenient thing to do. They only had so many men and a lot of women. And the women could be producing more and more children to bring about a larger group of Mormons, which is what they have always done, and marvelously so. I mean, it's like the Catholics, you know. They even count the dead, you know. But this is great. I mean, I should start counting our membership by all the people who have come and gone through here. And we would have quite a large, if I might say, congregation. Many of them have passed on to other experiences, but we're quite a large congregation. But that's possession. And we're not talking about possession. We're talking about freedom, non-possession, non-ownership, non-slavery. And this is what's very important to all of us, to live a life of total peace, total awareness, total love for ourselves. And if we truly love ourselves, we cannot possess another being. Because the other being is going to be our creation, the creation of our thought. The other person is going to be our idea, our opinion, our outlook on life, because that's who we create in our world. We only create in our world beings who are just like ourselves. And today we're sitting amongst some of the most beautiful beings in the world. Fabulous, aren't we? And accept, this is the sparkle of life. This is the very essence of life. This is what life is all about. And I would enjoin you to turn up the volume, Turn up the rheostat on your light. Let your light shine so beautifully and so bright that you see nothing else but yourself, because you are good and very good. I love you.
Is this fun?